knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Got to have a little humor. That was the Knights of the Round Table, a Monty Python song there. And this is the Tuesday Morning Round Table. The prep tip today is to please watch Cliff High's video report he did yesterday, the 13th day of March. I think you'll get a lot out of it. I really want to encourage people to watch that. And yes, this is Tuesday Morning Round Table. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Dave Hodges, his website is The Common Sense Show. I expect to be joined by Steve Ben Noon at some point this hour. We don't have any callers at the moment. And the call number is 512-248-8252. Do a segue here. Turn over to a question for Jeff. Sir, what updates, if any, do you have on the war in Ukraine, sir?
The Russians are making very slow progress, grinding forward in a tight front towards in the middle of the line. That's just continuing. The Ukrainians, as I said before, are preparing for the dry weather when it comes at late spring. The Chinese, you know, their mobilization is on hold. Since they're waiting for the Russians to get through Ukraine, it looks like. And they'll probably resume it. Xi Jinping made a speech, you know, he's taken up his third term. And it was, I guess a lot of people noticed it was very anti-American, very much focused on the U.S. being a problem for them. So you can see that they're advancing in a front. You've got, of course, countries that have fallen to communism in South America and Africa, even Nepal in Asia, as was taken over by Mao some years ago. So communism, the dominoes have kept falling, and those countries now, they're ready to flip the balance. And this relates to all these banks. There's been an economic war going on. There's a war against the dollar. They've cut our allies in Europe off of gas, natural gas. And you know, the Russian war, the pipeline that they blew up, whoever blew it up, the German investigators are on it now. The pipeline wasn't moving any gas. So it's, I think the world is at loggerheads, but the communists are better prepared. They're following a long-term plan. And they're going to try to paint us into a corner economically. Remember, in communism, it's about dropping the bottom out of the economy, so you're going to have revolutionary conditions, so you can destroy the free market countries. That's an essential element in all this. So then when you have Joe Biden, when you have a guy who's been connected to the communists here domestically and overseas, if you look at the Bukowski file, you've got a president like this in office who can, you know, kind of screw it up. You know, he's trying to help us all, you know, if you can believe him. He's trying to help Ukraine, if you can believe him. But he's going to screw it up, I think. I think that's what he's there to do.
Okay. Going back to a comment you made a moment ago before we get to our next caller, Jeff, you mentioned that the Chinese People's Liberation Army in China has put their mobilization on hold. What does that look like, sir, if you know?
Well, you remember they had last April, the party military central commission made a mobilization order, and right, they were going to retrofit railroad ships and do all these things.
Right.
And they wanted everything ready by November 1st. Well, they went only so far. And as they saw, as the summer dragged on, the Russians weren't succeeding in Ukraine. Especially when the HIMARS came out. And so it appears that they put that mobilization has sort of been slowed down. I would say it's been slowed down. they're still advancing it, but in increments rather than speedy.
Okay. Well, there's two parts to that. Building ships, tanks, aircraft is a long-term proposition. It takes a lot of time to get those things manufactured and ready to go. But getting men recruited and trained is something that can happen in 6 months. You can have an army of a million men recruited and trained, assuming the logistics are there to support them. My belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, they've probably slowed down the recruitment and training of new troops while they continue to build more ships, aircraft, and armored vehicles. Would that be a correct assessment?
They're still building things. The Chinese built these merchant ships, like these ro-ro ships, so that they had the ability to be retrofitted.
Right, right.
And, of course, you know, what is the status of that? I've talked to people who've been looking into that, people who have assets on the ground in China, and they're not seeing this progressing. And I just talked to some people yesterday about it. So they're not seeing it progressing in China. The Chinese are still doing things to get their military ready to improve things, but it's not this breakneck speed that they apparently were trying to do. We had that leak where they had the 57-minute tape of the military right. civil meeting right. in Guangdong,
right. Right.
Where they were just basically talking about everything they wanted to do and when they wanted to get it done by. And then the problem is you had two Chinese generals arrested and I presume executed or jailed. You had a whole bunch of people got executed, tortured and executed. So I think I'm not sure how much is left of Mr. Wang's network when he got their attention with leaking that. And the thing is that China and Russia, as allies, their military systems were made to be complementary. The Russians were going to supply the missile power, the Chinese the ground and naval power, and the Russian Navy would participate, of course, in army, but they had this division of labor, as it was described to me by Colonel Lunev. And the problem is the Russians, they have such problems in their military system. And the Chinese have taken up the slack by building missiles, ICBMs, so that, according to a report about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, the Chinese have more ICBM throw weight now than we do, which suggests they actually have the warheads to go with them.
Obviously, right.
Yeah, so that's really kind of dangerous, and it's dangerous.
It's quite dangerous
when you think that the Chinese, you know, but still the Chinese, you know, for in terms of economics and stuff, they need the Russians. They need the Russians to integrate Europe into their scheme because China needs trading partners. China's whole economy is based on this. You know, this trade into getting higher tech things. Certain high tech things they can't do in China. Those are still in countries like Japan or Europe or the United States. So China has to make sure that certain countries go over to the China-Russia alliance. And that was one of the things Mr. Wang explained to me, was that they really want to force Japan and South Korea into their sphere of influence. And that's not really working out yet so far. Although things could change with the economic, if this economic, this banking collapse is the beginning of a worldwide Great Depression, you know, you could have a number of things changing in a number of different countries where they flip over to the Chinese-Russian side.
The animosity between the residents of Japan and the residents of China goes back many, I don't know if it's centuries, but at least before World War II. How can they possibly overcome that and become allied?
Oh, well, there's all kinds of politics makes all kinds of strange bedfellows. The Germans have been very cozy with the Russians, and in World War II, the heaviest fighting in the war and the biggest bloodshed was between those two countries, Germany and Russia.
Right.
So, you know, it is politics, like they say, makes strange bedfellows.
Right.
It there's no hard and fast rules here. If they can, Japan is dependent on oil and very dependent for its energy needs. There's no oil wells in Japan.
Right.
Everything is 100% imported. And if China controls those waterways, if Russia can supply, come up with the oil, and if Saudi Arabia is turned to belonging to their alliance rather than to the West, Japan's going to have to rethink its alignment as well.
Agreed. Agreed. John, we've got a caller on hold here. We've got a couple of callers. First, we have John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a question for Mr. Nyquist. Hello?
You're on the air, John. Go ahead.
I've heard there's a... Let me turn the... All right, and I have a question concerning the Bakhmut situation. I'm hearing that there's if Bakhmut, the reason they keep holding on to Bakhmut is because, in fact, if Bakhmut is taken, it will create a situation where they can create a bulge in the defense, in the Ukrainian defensive line, which will cause them to take all of the rest of the Donbas region, which will cause them to, will force the Ukrainians to withdraw, since they don't have enough reserves in the rear. They have to withdraw from other fronts, and it will cause to try and stop the bulge from increasing, because the Russians are about to put in about 200,000 new reserves into action. And this is going to cause a chain reaction of collapse in the Ukrainian defensive positions, which will mean that the war will probably be ended by late summer or early autumn, October at the latest. Your comments, please.
You know, the people that are following this very closely, and a lot of military experts, they don't think there's any danger of Ukraine collapsing in this way. And there's a lot of skepticism about the quality. Remember, it's the quality of the troops. In order to for the Russians to break the Ukrainian line, they have to come up with not just numbers, because they can throw numbers, but you're just throwing men's lives away. You have to come up with the quality, people who really know how to fight, know how to do very technical things in order to break the Ukrainian line. Are the Russians going to be able to do that? We don't know. There's been some improvement in some of the Russian forces. But overall, I'm told, you know, they're putting a lot of recruits in there. They're throwing bodies in frontal assaults. You know, so that's not going to be what's going to work in the end. But we don't know how much, you know, whether they're going to be able to do it. I would watch for late June or whenever the ground dries to see what the Russians throw in then. We'll know more then, because all of this talk, remember, the Russians were going to do a crushing offensive in November, and then they were going to do a crushing offensive in February. Nothing happened, you know. So you have to treat these stories with some skepticism.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, you know, you've got callers into this show that follow the Russian propaganda channels that are coming through. They're disinformation, because they're not coming directly from Russia. They're coming through Americans who are plugged in to the Russians. And again and again, oh, they're about to collapse. They're going to collapse. They're going to, you know, it's like Colonel Douglas McGregor, who said on day 10 of the war, oh, this is all over now. You know, the Ukrainians are going to be collapsed within 10 more days. No, it's a year and more than 10 more days since the war started, and it's deadlocked, and the Ukrainians are holding. So we'll have to see.
That's a good response, Jeff. John, thank you for your call. Let's move on to our next caller. Back again for another comment. James in Vancouver, Canada. Good morning, James.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry I had to drop off that time, but... the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank will be the arbiter for the paper, okay, and they'll sell it to China. So that, I don't know how much was lost in this bank situation, but there you go. Now China owns probably most of California, if they don't already. And this is a lot a better way to do warfare than to fight over something like Taiwan, right? So the mess is in your backyard there. And they don't have to lose one soldier fighting for Taiwan, right?
Right.
Well, one of the reasons why the communists are doing so well right now is because the bankers are letting them do it. And if you look at a communist, right, these communist leaders, the only thing they really understand is how to oppress their own people. These are not Henry Ford entrepreneurs that learn how to, you know, that are engineers and build machines that are novel and so on and so forth. So that day is over. So what the banks are financing is a bunch of dummies who care more about your gender and whether you're a man or a woman or some other thing, you see. And this is just a big diversion. And that's some of the comments I wanted to add about the communists. So
okay. Well, we'll get a response first from Dave and then a follow-up from Jeff.
Sure.
You got one. Dave, you got a response to James' comments?
I think this could go a number of ways. I think we're at a decision tree right now. And China's probably weighing its options, at least regionally. I still believe that it's possible that if the Ukraine war heats up and the U.S. has to bring more intervention, that might be a prelude to a Taiwan invasion. I don't say that as a certainty. I say it as a possibility. But I do think that Japan, and I think the point was well made, that Japan could be the victim of economic blackmail as well, too, since they don't possess oil wells and they're totally dependent upon exports, and China might be able to interfere in that and force some kind of capitulation.
All right. Jeff, your follow-up, if any, sir?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the U.S. is being pressured, and all of these other countries are being pressured to do things that are going to basically break up our alliance system. Because the China and Russia knows that what makes the U.S. formidable is not the U.S. by itself, but it's the combination of all the countries and their economic strength, their combined economic strength, and the kind of leverage they have. So we have that as a preponderance. If that is undermined, they can start, you know, dividing and conquering and forcing countries one by one, leveraging them out of our alliance. And once they do that, once they have us isolated, which is, you know, Lenin talked about this more than 100 years ago. He said, America's going to be the last capitalist dinosaur. We're going to have everything else. And then we're just going to strangle them.
Okay. Let's go on to our next caller, gentlemen. Well said, Jeff. Looks like Dean in New York. Good morning, Dean.
Yeah, this morning. So in the beginning of your conversation this morning, and Dave, I don't want to disrespect you, but just wanted to possibly clear up some possible confusion on your part concerning some dialogue concerning Robert Kennedy running for president. I think you confused Senator John Kennedy,
I got to cut that off here because that's not accurate. He is a Democrat, but he's going as a centrist. And that's what I'm trying to destroy, that narrative. That was the point of me bringing that up.
No, hold on a second. I want to say I think you confused Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, with Robert Kennedy Jr.
Hold on,
sir. Robert Kennedy has never been in Congress. He's an environmental attorney, and he is the chairman of the board for the Children's Health Defense Fund. And he's done a hell of a job for the vaccine movement. President-elect Donald Trump was going to put him on the vaccine commission in the beginning of President Trump's
Dave knows the difference between the two, Senator Kennedy.
Yeah, anyways, the vaccine commission never reported.
Hold on, we got a break, and we'll be right there. It's going on.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
I say all or nothing for Ukraine. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need to use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com just in case you ever need to use your firearm. The war in Ukraine started 1 year and 2 days ago. Let's reflect a little. The U.S. wasn't going to send tanks because that would cause World War III. Now we are sending tanks, but they're not going to get there for over a year. So the U.S. federal government intends to send money and other support for at least another year. Over $113 billion U.S. dollars have already been sent to the Ukraine. That's over $900 per taxpayer. How much of that money and how many lives have been lost because of our gradual support? We should have either been all in with everything that Ukraine needs from day one, or we should have stayed out entirely. Russia is famous for winning wars of attrition. Thousands or millions more will die. Western support needs to be aimed at winning or just give up. All or nothing. Either way, it will be cheaper financially and cost far fewer lives. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time. See this Pashem Parabellum.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Fix bayonets.
Leave Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This hour is sponsored by MP Shield, same equipment the Department of Defense uses with a $50 discount at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Dave Hodges' website is The Common Sense Show. Jeff Nyquist's website is jrnyquist.blog, books for sale on Amazon. Dean, if you have anything else, we'd like to hear it, but Dave is not confused at all. He knows with no uncertainty whatsoever the difference between Senator Kennedy and Robert Kennedy Jr. Do you have anything else for us, Dean?
Okay, I just heard him say Robert Kennedy voted for some federal trade FCC something or other.
He supports it.
I wouldn't vote.
I
for
said the bill was
he said
dead
he
in committee.
It,
you're misquoting me.
Okay, I apologize.
I tell you, there's an image being created there with Kennedy. Yes, he's had some vaccine breakthroughs in his statements, but I view him like I do Tulsi Gabbard. I don't trust him any farther than I can throw him. They're being promoted as centrist Democrats in case they're needed in 2024. That's my belief.
Okay. Dan, we do think.
And I agree with you. Just one more thing. I wouldn't vote for him for president either, but I think probably he's running to put the platform out there, the vaccine platform out there, and he has a great website, childrenshealthdefensefund.org. So anyways, you guys have a great day, and thanks.
Oh, good. Okay, Dean. Well, gentlemen, I know, Jeff, this happens with you and Dave also. People hear what they want to hear, and they you get misquoted. Jeff, your response. Jeff, you're on mute, sir. We'll get a response from Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. The default. You know, I'm glad that he brought this up in one sense, because something I've never brought up on your show yet, John, you got Tulsi Gabbard that spoke at CPAC a year ago, and she goes on Tucker Carlson. I think he's totally taken in by her. A leper doesn't change their spots. She's a diehard Democrat. She's for late-term abortions. She's strangely silent on the issue now. But I think she's going to be used as either an independent candidate, and I think Kennedy could be part of this as well, to split the Republican vote all of 1912, or they will be the Democratic candidates that will come back into the so mainstream fold, but as centrists, so they can garner the independent vote. You know, I talk a lot about election fraud, but even the fraud has limits. It can't cover 100% of the votes. So they've got to at least do some legitimate campaigning so they don't have to totally be dependent on voter fraud. And I see Tulsi Gabbard and Kennedy as both part of that plot. The Democrats are so much wiser than the Republicans, but I don't think it's by accident. If you look at Mitch McConnell, he took FTX money. His Chinese ties are well known. McCarthy has some suspicious ties. He's playing the part now because he had to get the 15th vote in as Speaker. And Rona McDaniels or Romney, I don't need to say any more than that. But she also, too, is pro-China friendly. And they're all singing a different tune right now. But I believe that what I see here in Arizona, the Republican Party is totally under the control of leftist forces. And I believe the same thing is true at the national level.
All right. Jeff's back with us. Jeff, you've had issues for decades of people not hearing what you said, misquoting what you say. That's nothing new for you at all, is it, sir?
No, it's not. Yeah, I apologize. My mute button wouldn't go off mute, so I had to reboot my phone. But the thing that people do is people have – this is the problem with ideology and their expectations. Ideology primes us to only hear certain things and to be selective in our hearing. That is, if it isn't part of our already, you know, accepted lexicon of things, we don't hear it. Instead, we only hear what is within that lexicon. And I've noticed that, and I catch myself sometimes, that we all have our prejudices and the things we expect to hear from people. And sometimes when you're listening to somebody, you think you know what they already are going to say. You hear what you think they're going to say rather than what they actually said.
Absolutely. There was a Mel Gibson film where he is focusing on the Indians in South America at the time Columbus was arriving. And the Native American is on the coast looking at the ocean, and he can't see the European ship that's right out there in front of him because it's not part of his world. And he finally, I think, saw the disruption in the water somehow, was able to see it after staring right at it for some period of time. Is there a name for that phenomenon, Jeff? Do you know what that would be called?
Yeah, I don't know. I think in the Mel Gibson movie, I don't think it was from there. I think it's a story from the arrival of the Spanish in the New World.
Right.
Columbus. I think that's a phenomenon. People don't see what is culturally not in their mind as possible sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times in psychology we call it cognitive dissonance.
Right, exactly. Gentlemen, we got a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Information you won't find anywhere else on the internet is simply not there that you'll find there. Information that will help you understand the world we live in. Products that will help you achieve your goals of having the healthy, fun, full, prosperous life that we all want to have at thelibertyman.com. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Dave Hodges, his website is The Common Sense Show. And let's go ahead and take our next caller. It looks like John in Louisiana. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Go ahead.
to Mr. Dave there, concerning Jacqueline Berger's investigative work at the Arizona hearings, I was wondering, have you heard of a guy by the name of Mike Gill, any chance?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Okay, you should really look into him. He's got a great body of work concerning these same issues, tying the two judicial system into the cartels. And he has a really specific viewpoint. And maybe you could help give that story some traction.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to contact him. You know, here's what I know about the investigation into the fraud. In 2020, it was a lady named Liz Harris and myself, and then added on was the Arizona audit, which was a total joke, led by rhinos with very suspicious backgrounds that have been highlighted by the Brager Report. And then, of course, there was John Thaler and the sponsor of the Brager Report. And there really hasn't been a lot of other noteworthy contributions. I'm not saying there aren't people that don't have good information. I'm saying they just haven't come to the forefront. Liz Harris suffered tremendous abuse when she came out with her 2020 position, when she audited Maricopa County and found about 90,000 fake votes. Within 6 hours of me publishing my five ways that the election was stolen in 2020, 13 of my colleagues were contacted and told not to have anything to do with me, including people like Sarah Westall, who I'm interviewing tomorrow, and also Paul Preston, who was actually threatened. He was told, if you don't stop publishing Dave Hodges stuff, having him on your show, he's going to get you killed. So that told me that we were really on the target there because of the extreme abuse that we had. We forced some resignations of public officials through disclosures of their illegal activities that preceded the Brager Report. But I don't know anybody named Mike Gill. If you want to put him in touch with me, I'd be happy to talk to him.
It's really an interesting story. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, President Obrador just came out recently kind of, you know, threateningly against the states and Republicans specifically, you know, that he would possibly try to sway the elections towards the Democrats if they kept exposing this connections with the cartels. And anyway, Mike has a really good body of work, and I'm not sure that I could put him in touch with you. Honestly, I've tried to get in touch with him, and he is a very bad man to get in touch with. He's kind of hiding in exile because of all this.
Well, I can understand that. You know, my work I'm coming out with here in the next few weeks may draw him out. Because I am going further. I'm going further with this. Yeah, but we need all the help we can get. The public is largely shocked here in Maricopa County about the depth of fraud. There's no hiding 60% of your machines going down in GOP territories. But there's not a unifying body to jump onto. I have personally watched the transformation of people I've interviewed in the past from the Republican legislature who I believe have flipped sides for their own personal gain. There's no unifying resistance against the fraud that's encroaching Maricopa County in Arizona with control of the cartels. And I really believe, from what I've seen, when you're talking cartels, you're really talking Chinese proxies.
I agree completely. Mike was based in New Hampshire. He was a real estate mogul, one of the largest in the country. He was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Very, very high up guy in that world. And he basically uncovered, you know, what you're touching on with Ms. Berger. But in New Hampshire, and he has very, very hard evidence linking Sununu and Shaheen, the governor and senator of New Hampshire, into this crime web. It's a huge story, and you know, maybe it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
That actually might be one of the 26 states that the Brager Report alluded to. Because she presented to the Arizona Select Committee on Election Integrity, she was limited to Arizona. And the attacks on her are just amazing. Let me just give you one example about how far they're going to discredit her. Well, we can't believe a word she said because she didn't allow herself to be sworn in. That's an absolute lie. I watched the entire testimony. The duty to swear someone in belongs on the sponsoring body, not the person coming in saying, well, I'm swearing myself in now. But this is how ridiculous the discrediting is of the work. There's nothing that goes on the facts. They said we should never have heard this case. You got legislators speaking out against it because they're profiting on it. I'm going to give you one thing that I think lends credence to what you just said about Mike Gill. A real estate agent would be in the right position to understand the money laundering in the way that it was described in the Brager Report. We found that very same thing in Prescott, Arizona, where $20,000 parcels of land were going for $500,000. And we feel we forced two resignations politically by exposing it. Unfortunately, and I've told the lady, I won't mention her name again, she, this lady who assisted me was also a realtor. She and her boyfriend were the victims of attempted assassinations. The boyfriend was shot. He returned fire and wounded the assailant, and the authorities in Yavapai County where this took place are dragging their feet on serious prosecution. He should be charged with attempted first-degree murder, and they should be looking at associated organized crime cartel activities, and they're not. But these are the same officials who let Hunter Biden walk away from the Prescott Airport after being caught with crack cocaine in the backseat of his rental car at the airport. So should we be surprised?
Yeah, no, shouldn't be surprised at all. You know, billions and billions of dollars empire you're talking about, you'll come up against a lot of resistance there. Mike has as well. His story is really, really incredible.
I should probably say this here because I might have been the victim of an attempt to. I can't say for sure. Let me tell you really quickly what happened. I had a flat tire when I was out of my community. I called AAA. They sent the guy out, and he goes, Mr. Hodges, you got any enemies? I don't like the way this looks. And I blew it off. I thought, no, it's just a shredded tire. And he described to me that the tire appeared to have puncture mark in an area wouldn't lose air right away, and it was only meant to lose air when you accelerated. Fortunately, I was just beginning to accelerate when the tire went. But Carrie Lake's daughter's car suffered the same damage, which I did not know at that time. And then also John Thaler, the sponsor of the Brager Report, he had the same thing happen to him on his way to Yuma. And I looked at that and I go, gee, I wonder if that's what this guy meant when he talked to me about this. I can't say for sure that happened, but it's making me look over my shoulder.
Yeah, these are the hallmarks of, you know, something that the cartels would do. I would absolutely be very wary and, you know.
Yeah, the cartels, unfortunately for me at this time, they seem to be hesitant to commit political murders inside the United States for all the obvious reasons, but that's coming. They've captured law enforcement. Yeah, they've captured the judges here in Arizona to a large extent. But I don't think it'll be long until their below-the-border behaviors fully come north. We're already seeing compromised Hispanic Maricopa County deputies, as I described earlier, two Phoenix police officers involved in cartel drug moving. And the reason I say Hispanic is not to diminish the contribution of Hispanic citizens. It's because they may have links to family members in Mexico for a second, third generation, and those family members can be threatened to gain compliance. That's a tactic that's real common south of the border.
Absolutely, and you're correct. 100%, the link as a Chinese proxy, these cartels should be very clear to everyone that they are largely funded by China and have an alliance with China. And, you know, to go into Jeff's body of work, you know, linking them together as well, you know, it's just something people need to be aware of. You know, we are being attacked from every angle in this communist conspiracy. That's all, guys. Thanks.
Okay, John. Okay. Thank you for your call. Jeff, what follow-up, if any, do you have with connections between these drug cartels and the communist Chinese, or if any?
Well, it's the Russians and the Chinese. If you know, the book that everybody should read is Red Cocaine by Joseph D. Douglas, Jr. And what he showed is that by the late 80s, Russia and China controlled together about two-thirds of the international drug trade through intermediaries, criminal intermediaries. The schools that they set up around 1960 were controlled. There was they were in communist Czechoslovakia, and they were one set for the military intelligence, both of the Czechs and the Soviets, and the other was for the KGB and the STB, respectively. And they trained non-ideological recruits. That is, the people they trained to run these drug cartels were not ideological communists. They didn't want communism associated with the trade, but they were controlling it ultimately. They were the ultimate controllers. And the main interest was on the money laundering. There was, of course, the corruption of society that happens with people who, you know, drug use. Casual drug use is not good. But even more important, it was the money laundering, because that would give you, that would corrupt the banks. The money would be used to corrupt politicians, corrupt counterintelligence officials, corrupt law enforcement, corrupt judges, on and on. You see how it works.
All right. All right. Well said. And I concur. The book Red Cocaine involves a detailed debrief of a East European general, where a lot of that information came from, didn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, Jan Šejna was one of the top officials in communist Czechoslovakia, and he had access to the program and was involved in it, was, in fact, at one point had to convince Raul Castro, the brother of Fidel Castro, into allowing black street gangs in the inner cities in the United States to be distributors for the red cocaine, for the product that they were. Originally, it was heroin and marijuana were their starter drugs. And in 1967, they went up to cocaine. They decided that cocaine was a good drug.
Right.
They were going
right.
to organize to put out by 1970. So the creation of the money laundering mechanism was the key to the corruption of – and, of course, the Russians had done a study from 1955 to 1960 on organized crime and banking. They became very interested under Khrushchev in this question. So the Soviet Academy of Sciences studied it very in great detail. This is why Russia, the Russian mafia, is considered to be a sort of an overlord over the Mexican mafia. And the Chinese triads are in there too, although the Chinese are more heavily operating in Canada. And then the Russian mafia is there too, but they operate in tandem. And they have intelligence agreements between the Russians and the Chinese. And, of course, they have agreements with the cartels. They actually sign treaties with them. There's a report in Canada called the Sidewinder Report on this, which came out in 97, which basically talked about, you know, real estate. It's very interesting because, you know, what's coming out of Arizona is that real estate is part of the way they're laundering the money. Real estate transactions.
Right, and, right. Well, that's Dave was mentioning that also.
Yeah. I'd like to ask, can I ask Jeff a question real quick?
Sure, please.
Jeff, one of the reports I'm getting from Border Patrol and then my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, former DHS, is the obsession that the cartel members have recently taken on with occultic and satanic practices. What do you know about that?
Well, of course, you're talking about coming out of Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah, there's various cults. You got to remember Mexico when the conquistadors came. They were worshiping a kind of Moloch in which they would sacrifice thousands. They could sacrifice more than 1,000 people a day. I think their biggest sacrifice they know about was 20,000 people in one day, sacrificed to this cult entity. And that was part of the Aztec religion. The Aztecs were harvesting people from all the surrounding Indian communities, you know, because they didn't want to sacrifice their own. Seize this natural entity. So there's a history of occult practices in Mexico that a whole empire based on it. I think that was brought down. That was Cortez, Indo Cortez, that empire down. So I don't know all the ins and outs of the occult. There is a cult that mixes Christianity with ancient Indian beliefs. Santeria, isn't that what it's called? That's also involved. When you have criminal gangs, sometimes the glue that holds them together is it can be mixed with occult practices. And this further binds them. And of course, there was the KGB defector. He was one of the first to, they attempted to assassinate with the radioactive material. I'm trying to think of his name, but he defected just before, I think it was 1959 or 60. And Kokhlov, his name was Kokhlov. And he, a friend of mine, who was an old calendars Greek Orthodox priest, had gone to an Orthodox event with him and got to know him. And he talked about what he had seen in the basements of the Lubyanka, the headquarters of the KGB in Moscow back in the late 50s, was that they were doing this massive experiment in the occult in the KGB.
Okay.
For you to
okay. Yeah. Thank you for that, Jeff. We're not going to take any more calls. We're going to hear our summaries from Leon and Jeff and Dave. When we get back from the break, we'll be right back.
Mr. Sandman.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say, there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna go to summaries. We'll be on with Leon go to Jeff and wrap it up with Dave. About a minute or so, gentlemen. Go ahead, Leon.
Yes, sir. Looking at what's happening in the banking sector, and if you know about Operation Sandman, which is the international abandonment of the petrodollar, you can see what's happening. And with Mexico turning over now, which is, I think it's the second largest trading partner we have behind Canada. So with all these things happening, you know, preparedness is crucial. And so you can't control what's happening in Washington and the FBI and all the other things. But one thing you can do is make a difference in your own house, in your own home, in your own community. So just this morning, since you've been on radio, I've had six chicks, hats from last year's batch. So I got 125 chickens, and I decided I would start hatching my own eggs. And right now I have six of them out of hats out of 16 just this morning. So I'm doing things. So I'm saying make a difference in time. Make a difference in the world. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Jeff, your summary, please.
I should, just mention something about the Russian studies on corruption in the 1950s in the U.S. and in Latin America. The Russians determined that people in America were too honest to easily corrupt to advance their agenda, the communist agenda in the U.S., so they wanted to create it in more corruption. They knew Latin American banks were corrupt, but American bankers were too honest even then. So they wanted to introduce through intermediaries, bribe Hollywood producers to put more sex and violence and more questionable morality modeled in our TV and movies. And this was told to me by Colonel Lunev that the KGB had done this and that this was a longstanding project. And you notice our morals started loosening in the 1960s.
Yes, sir.
Very significantly. So.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, Dave, your summary, please. Got about a minute and a half.
Couldn't agree with Jeff any more than what he just said about Hollywood's complicity. And maybe McCarthy was a little smarter than we gave him credit for. Boy, I tell you, we've covered a lot today. My fear is if the banking goes south like it appears it could be, whether it's full or partial, it certainly opens the door to digital currency. And even leaving out the religious argument for a second, it could lead into the mark of the beast. It certainly could lead into social credit, the total loss of freedom, how you spend your money, what you'll eat, where you'll live, total communization of America. And that concerns me. But there's a lot that's come up on this show that's making me believe that we could be witnessing the full frontal assault of the left on America, culture, our government. It's already under attack, but I mean, this could be the main thrust, the main charge.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for being with us, and I look forward to having you all back next Tuesday. And Jeff, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. We appreciate it. Okay. That's it for today. Get your medical supplies, your energy, clean your essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the lovely state of Missouri I get to live in, the big, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.